when we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Can you imagine how that must have made him feel? I mean, he's flat out denying he even knows who Christ is. After Jesus had already said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, because the Father has revealed it to you who I am. So he knew Jesus. But here, as meeting that cock crew, and it says, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out, and what did he do? He wept bitterly. Why did he weep? Because he was sick in the sin that he was in. He was so sick over his sin. He knew he'd sinned against the Lord. He denied him three times. He'd went against everything that was ingrained within him. He refused to do what was right. And he denied Christ. And so he went out and he wept. And it don't say he went out and shed a little tear. It didn't say he went out and just got a handkerchief and wiped off his cheeks. No, it said he wept bitterly. That means he got down and he groveled on the ground and he was sick. I mean, he was sick over his sin. Friends, I want you to know today, this country that we live in, people ought to be sick over their sins. I mean, the people today are doing things defying God and knowing they're defying God, spitting in his face. We ought to be out weeping bitterly over these sins. So Peter knew exactly who Jesus was. He truly knew who he was. That's already been established. Thankfully, Peter found forgiveness because of that denial. He found forgiveness. God forgave him because Jesus already had a plan for Peter. Peter, you're going to usher in the New Testament church. This is the keys of the kingdom. I'm going to let you preach on the day of Pentecost, and those Jews are going to get saved, and then the New Testament church is going to start, but it's going to happen through you. So Jesus already had a plan for Peter. Thank the Lord that Peter knew that he needed to go and repent to the Lord and get forgiveness of his sins so that God could continue to use the man. But back in our opening text there in Philippians 3 and 10, Paul simply says that I may know him. You see, Paul had never met Jesus that we know of. The Bible doesn't mention it before that time on the road to Damascus after the Christ had already been, you know, ascended up into heaven and met him there on that road. We don't know that Paul had ever been around him at all. It doesn't say anything in the scriptures about it. And we know he went out in that Arabian desert for 3 years and the Lord spoke to him and revealed things to him. But he didn't have the same relationship that Peter and John and James had with Jesus. I mean, they were walking, you know, side by side with him. They were laying down at night beside him, and they were with him everywhere he went. So they knew him that way. But Paul didn't have any personal connection with Jesus outside of the faith and the believing that he had in him. And so Paul says that I may know him. He could have went and asked Peter some things about him. Well, Peter, can you tell me about Jesus' personality? Can you tell me some of the things he said? Could you tell me how he behaved when he's around other people? Would you kind of give me an idea? He could have went and done that. Peter could have said, oh yeah, let me tell you all about it. But he didn't. He says that I may know him. Friends, that should be our desire today, is to know Christ, to know him personally on an intimate basis, not just a story about him, not just what we can read about him, but we want to know him. We got to have a relationship with him. And so we need to let him lead us and to guide us and to reveal to us. That's what the scriptures are for when we're reading through them and we're praying and meditating. And if you're saved, the Holy Spirit living inside of you will reveal that scripture to you. It will illuminate the scripture and reveal things to you. That's how you get to know Christ, by walking with him day by day. Don't think that you can just go get saved and then go live your life like the rest of the world and know Jesus. You're not ever going to know him on that basis. Friends, you got to walk with him. That's what he says. He says, come follow me. Take up your cross and follow me, he keeps saying. Follow me. What does that mean? Do what he does. It's like when I used to follow my daddy around. We'd go out to plant the garden. What daddy would be in front of me. He had the seed bag around his waist, and he had those seeds in it, and I was behind him. We was going down those rows. He's throwing it in, and I was dumping water in behind him. Or I was scooping up with a hole behind him, covering up those rows. And why? I was following my dad. I was following his footsteps. That's what we must do with Christ. Follow in his footsteps. Do what he did. And so that we, in our mind, when something comes up, occasion rises in your life, some situation, what do? The first thing we need to do, what would Christ do in this situation? We ought to have that in our life. We ought to be so close to Him that that's our first thought. How should I do this in the name of Christ? How should I treat this situation? Most of us treat it in our flesh. You know, what can I do? What kind of strength do I have? What abilities do I have to make this right? No, think, what would Christ do here? So how did you get to know your spouse, your husband, your wife? Same way I did, I'm sure. You wrote them letters. You talked on the phone. You talked with them. You listened to them. You got to know them. That's the same way we know Christ. We spend time with Him, communicating with Him. How in the world do you think you're ever going to know Him if you never even talk to Him? You know, we need to talk to Jesus, and He will talk back. He may not sound like those voices they do in Hollywood. You know, get up there and Morgan Freeman or something, and, you know, say, "This is God." That's not going to happen. But He will speak to you, and you'll recognize His voice. He said that we would. He said, "I know them, and they know me." And so, friends, we need that kind of relationship with the Lord Jesus. We ought to be able to sing that song, "And He walks with me and talks with me," just like we just heard. Paul didn't only want to know who Jesus was, he also wanted to know the power of His resurrection. Did you see that in that verse? Why is the resurrection so needed to know about? Why is it so important? Because without the resurrection, there's no reason for us to be here tonight. If Christ had not risen, our faith would be in vain. Our preaching would be vain. But thank God, we know that He did. Hey, we're the only faith-based religion that has a God, has a Savior that gave His life for us. All these others expect us to give our life for them. He gave His life for us. Aren't you glad of that tonight? Friends, it ought to be our desire to know Jesus personally. Paul wanted to know about His resurrection. He said this over to the church in Corinth. He said in 1 Corinthians 15:13, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Friends, our preaching is not in vain. You may say, "Well, you know, you don't have a big, powerful ministry like some men do." Well, I may not have, but I want you to know that we faithfully stand and we preach the Word of God. And God said that His Word would not be returned to Him void. It would go out and do that what He pleases. And friends, all we got to do is be obedient to Him. Open up our mouth and let ring out the gospel. You can go over to India and you can dig up the grave of old Buddha that they worship over there. And you know what you're going to find? Dust and bones. That's all you're going to find. You can go over to China and dig up the grave of Confucius. Confucius says, Confucius don't say nothing. You know why? Because he's nothing but dust and bones. You can go over to Saudi Arabia and dig up the grave of Muhammad, and you'll find nothing but dust and bones. But listen, you go over and look for the remains of Jesus, you know what you're going to find? You're not going to find anything. You know why? Because He ascended, and He sits on the right hand of the Father, and He makes intercession for us that I may know Him. Listen, there's been other people who've been resurrected from the dead, Lazarus, to name one. But his resurrection didn't ensure our resurrection. Because of Christ's resurrection, we too have a resurrection. We can be assured that when we leave this walk of life, that we will be resurrected back and we will meet Him and we'll have new bodies. Over in John 11:25, Jesus told Martha that He was the resurrection. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." What's that tell us? That tells us that we too have a resurrection because of Christ's resurrection. Christ has power over death, hell, and the grave. And because there's power in the resurrection, we too will be resurrected. And that's why Paul says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And then he says in that next part there, toward the last part, he said, and the fellowship of His sufferings. Well, that seems kind of odd to say, doesn't it? The fellowship of His sufferings. When I hear the word fellowship, I think about the times midpoint of our service and we go around shaking hands. Or maybe we go down to the fellowship building and we eat and have fun and get together and do things. That's what I think of. But when Paul's talking about this, he says the fellowship of His sufferings. The meaning behind that fellowship means to participate. It means to take a part of. Paul's saying he wants to participate in the sufferings of Christ, the same ones he suffered in. His desire was to know Him so intimately that he would have the same suffering that Christ suffered, and it meant that he would know Him better. If I could suffer the way Christ did, I would know Him better. The Apostle Peter, he understood this same thing. After all the things he did, the denial, then the forgiving of it, and then the preaching at Pentecost. And Peter, in his older age, he says this in 1 Peter 3:14. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. And then he said in 1 Peter 4:16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Well, we know that according to Fox's Book of Martyrs, old Peter went, as they marched him up to be crucified on that Roman cross, that what history tells us is that Peter asked to be crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy enough to be crucified in the same manner that his Savior was. And I tell you what, friends, that's a testimony that Peter knew Christ. Paul wanted to identify with Christ, to share in his sufferings, to be like him. We should all desire to be like Jesus. Jesus was a man that suffered. Many people want to share in all Jesus' triumphs, his joys, his ruling over the nations. I mean, you see that all through the scripture. Everywhere Jesus went, they flocked after him. Until he said that little word about eating of my flesh and drinking my blood, and then they all said, bleh, and they all turned around and left. They didn't want to know Jesus in that manner. If you want to know Jesus, we got to participate in his sufferings, fellowship of his sufferings. Many want to wear the golden crown that he wears. They don't want to wear the crown of thorns. Nobody wants to do that. Many want to share in his royal robes, but what about that blood-stained one that they gambled over? Does anybody want to share in that? Well, no, we don't want to do that. Paul goes on to say in that very last part, and we'll be finished. He said, being made conformable unto his death. That word conformable means having the same or similar form, the same manners or quality. Paul is saying, not only do I want to share in his sufferings, but I'm willing to die as Christ died. I'm willing to suffer the penalty of death. It would be an honor to live and die the same way the Lord Jesus. Friends, and we all would think, well, Paul was just crazy. Paul was out of his mind. Only a crazy person would be willing to die. Is that right? Well, is he crazy or just totally given over to the Lord? I think he's totally given over. Paul had emptied himself of himself. He wanted to know Christ on an intimate basis, no matter what it meant. That's why he went on to say this in Philippians 4 and 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What about you tonight? What about you? Are you willing to know who Christ is? Is that your desire, that I may know him? It ought to be. It ought to be our desire. Because if we have that kind of desire to know Christ, we're going to have that burden on our heart that Christ has for the lost. And we can know when we see that person that's out there in that sin, instead of hating them and wishing they would die and they would go and burn in hell, if we had the mind of Christ, if we knew Christ, if we could only know him, we would know that is not his desire. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Will they? No, all will not come. We know that from reading the Bible. Many, many, many will go off and drop into hell and pay the penalty for their sins. But friends, it's his desire that they be saved. And if we know Christ in the way that we should, our desire should be that all men be saved. And so what would we do? We tell other people about him. We don't keep it a secret. We don't hide it under a bushel. We're not a city on a hill with our lights hidden. We ought to be shining bright for Christ.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Babelay Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.
The Holy One comes down, brethren, pray and hope.